All right, so I'm Dilip Singh. I'm here with my friend, Sean MacArthur, and we're gonna be presenting about dynamic CRM portals. Just to give you a brief, and we're gonna talk about it a lot. This is a brand new service which Microsoft launched in May 2016. So we have launched it out to customers, and this session is all about helping you understand what this is, how you can use it in your company, and play around with it, see whatever feedback you have, and so that we can improve it as well. So just to start, we'll always write down the goals for the session. This is something one of my presentation guru told me once, that always start with the goals. So what are we gonna learn today is, first and foremost, when you should consider CRM portals. Now, that's the most important question, because you run across so many scenarios in your organization that understanding which tool can help you best is one of the most, foremost thing which we want to solve for you here. Whenever you have a scenario which portals can help out with, that's what we want you to give understanding of, where we can help. Second is what you can do with it. What type of features do we support, how you can extend it, what type of things we do out of the box, where we'll ask you to do customization, all that scenarios we're gonna talk about today. Now, this is an online service. So the most important goal is we have to keep you online always. And we'll learn today that how we do that, how we achieve it, what basically powers our platform, and how we make sure that you're always up 99.9% of the time, which is a financially committed SLA. And then the next question comes, okay, this is fine, this is all you do today, what is coming next? Because everyone wants more, no one is ever satisfied. So we're gonna talk about what is coming next and when it is coming. So we are gonna talk about our release schedules and roadmaps there. And then the last part, okay, I learned a lot, I know this will work for me, how do I get started? So we're gonna talk about how you can try it, how you can buy it, we do previews, so how you can enroll into previews. So we're gonna cover that as well. So these are the goals which we are gonna start with, and now to achieve these goals, this is the kind of way we are gonna take you through this journey. We'll start with introduction, we'll talk about CRM in a brief for people who are brand new, haven't used CRM before. We'll talk about portals, what we really do. Then we'll talk about all the scenarios, we'll talk about capabilities, we have a little demo which Sean will be doing. We will talk about service architecture, how do we deploy it, how does it really work in cloud. We'll talk about our offering, how you can try it, buy it, do a preview. And then we'll talk about roadmap and release. And we'll try to keep last 15 minutes for questions. And we won't be able to take all the questions for sure. So we'll stay back and we will be in our expo session throughout the week. So anyone has any question, they can come up there as well. All right, so with this, kind of our mutual understanding. And then we have a slide where we'll ask you to give our feedback as well. So with this mutual understanding, I'll give it to Sean, who'll start with the introduction.
Thanks, Dilip. Nice to see you all. I can't quite see some faces here because it's a little bright up here, but I know a few of you, so nice to see you again. So what is Dynamic CRM? We have a few people here. This is Ignite. This isn't a CRM conference. So we have a few people here that don't know a lot about Dynamic CRM. So I want to sort of give a little high-level understanding as to what the platform is that we're building upon here. So Dynamic CRM is shorthand for Customer Relationship Management System. It's a CRM application that ships with sales, service, and marketing modules in the box. And it's also a configurable application platform that you can build and configure your own business scenarios on top of that, even outside of those three primary pillars of CRM. And that's really what we've done in portals, is we've actually allowed you to extend CRM using the extensibility of CRM in order to reach out to your customers. So what are portals for Dynamic CRM? So you got CRM as your database to manage all of your customer interactions and your data. What do portals do? So portals allow you to extend CRM to your external audiences. So whether they're customers or partners or suppliers or anything like that, if you want to interact with them and you want to interact with them online, portals will enable you to reach out to them and have a web-based user experience that takes and actually stores everything all in Dynamic CRM. So we have no separate database. We only use CRM as the data store. So all of your customer and partner interactions will all be in Dynamics CRM, where you can then get some business value inside your organization and be able to automate your business processes for everything you're trying to automate it. So we ship a number of scenarios, things like partner portals and community portals and things like that. But you also, it's a platform that you can actually configure and make your own scenarios there. So we're out on the show floor the other day, and we're talking with a lot of customers. You know, some people want to do event management, they want to do membership management. A lot of schools want to do education, student management, things like that. All those types of scenarios are possible using both the Dynamics CRM platform and extending with portals. Sort of give you ideas how it all fits together is typically all the people in your organization that would be inside the corporate bounds or employees would actually be using Dynamics CRM interfaces. And we have quite a number of those available for you. We've got mobile experiences, we've got web-based experiences, we've got Outlook integrated scenarios, and those you'd be using on your desktop. But for everyone that's external, you would be using a portal. So the portal will actually talk with Dynamics CRM through the CRM SDK. But it's actually a customer external facing portal that's actually meant and tailor-made to make external applications. So what are some basic stuff of the portal framework here? So we have quite a number of portals, and I'll go into the different scenarios that we're actually covering a little bit later here. But here's some of the key application features of all of our portals. So encompassing in sort of, you can think of it as the portal framework, or basically all portals can do these things. So we've got local and federated authentication. So this allows you to actually have username and password within your portal, or if you're into Azure Active Directory, or if you want to have open identities like Google or Facebook or Twitter and stuff like that, they all come out of the box through a federation capability. And our federation will support OpenID Connect. We've got OAuth, SAML P, as well as the WS Federation stack as well. So basically, any modern authentication standard you want to use for federation, the portals will work with that. Profile management is in both a business-to-consumer and a business-to-business scenario are both important scenarios, particularly if you have a CRM database, because you want to be able to have self-service management of the customer information. So if the customer changes their phone number or their mobile number or their email address or whatever it is, they can go to the portal and update that, and it makes it easier for you to maintain current and relevant information in your CRM. It also enables you to be able to use that information to be able to light up particular applications and engage with them online. All of our portals allow you to configure and create additional apps. So we ship a number of apps pre-configured, but we actually ship those apps using the same configuration base that you would be able to use and build your own applications. So you may see something that sort of smells a little bit like what you want to do, but not quite, or you want to combine two different sites with a different functionality. You're quite welcome to do that as well. Web engagement is all about the portal, so it allows you to do things like rating and ranking, comments on applications and things like that, but basically a lot of highly engaging website activities that you can do on all your portals. Integrated CMS, so we've always believed that content on the website should be managed by content authors that may not be IT, so we built the portal framework on top of a CMS model. We have custom branding. Every customer and every portal has got their own unique brand and their own online identity they want to maintain, and they want to have all these portals doing that. So we have custom branding as a very core part of our portal framework here. Responsive web design is for mobile and tablet applications and allows you to be able to support any user on any device. And of course, we have our solutions that are come out of the box. So let's go a little deeper dive on the various things. So we're actually using responsive web design, designing for mobile first. So there's a couple of things that come with that. So we are using modern standards, so HTML5, CSS3, to make your theming and the responsive part easy. We've followed the Bootstrap framework, so all of our portals are implemented with Bootstrap. So it makes it really easy for you to go to a Bootstrap theme builder, take a Halloween theme if you want in the next month here, and actually upload one CSS file, and your entire website would be Halloween themed. Or if you want to do it with your own corporate brand, you can go in the theme builders, go put in, say, 15 or so different attributes that would match what you want on your brand, and it'll pump out a CSS file, you upload it, and your entire portal there will be matching to your brand. Of course, you'd have to upload your logo and a few other things like that and manage your content, but it's really easy to get from our out-of-the-box portals with very little brand to your exact brand. And it's typically, usually, you know, for the field, they do that effort in less than an hour for most of our customers in our demos. The mobile first piece, so basically the Bootstrap framework does allow you to, it changes the design of and layout of the website based on your device capabilities. So as you go down into a phone or into a tablet, there's different device capabilities and different screen size and stuff like that. And the layouts just flow appropriately. So it actually is easy to use our portals on any kind of a device. It supports, because we're supporting all open internet standards, it supports all of the browsers and all the platforms and all the phones as well. The other thing that is interesting here with the responsive design is we've designed for touch first. Especially if it's important when you're in a phone environment where you actually don't have a mouse. You're just basically touching the screen. So if you've ever used websites where actually they, you know, go over the menu and they have to hover it to drop it down, if you ever try to use those on your phone and tablet, it's not so easy. But with ours here, make sure that it's all touch friendly, touch first. So everything is designed for mobile first, and it also works on the full PC as well.
That's just the sound effect we were practicing before you guys come in. So it's all part of the plan.
Looks like the
clip comes off this one. So I'm just going to leave it on the side so that it doesn't happen again. Actually, I'll put it in my back pocket. That won't fall out. Custom branding. So as I mentioned before, every one of our customers has their own brand. We make it really easy for you to brand. So typically, you'd go and you'd upload your Bootstrap theme, and then you basically, as you're logging in, you can hover over the things like the headers, your logos, and basically just point and click, touch, edit type of thing, and away you go. So it's really easy to take the portals and make them into your brand. And every one of our customers gets their own brand. So you're not going to see two of our portals the same, at least you shouldn't, unless someone hasn't branded it to their website. Very flexible page layouts. So we have a programming module in there that allows you to basically change all of the layouts on your website. So if you don't like the layouts that we're shipping here, you can make your own as well and organize your pages according to how you see fit within your applications that you're building or the content you're putting in there too. And all of this data and all this configuration, by the way, is all stored in Dynamics CRM. So you don't actually have to worry about synchronizing a separate database. You don't have to worry about, okay, go change things in CRM, and then you have to go change it on the portal. You basically design once in CRM, and you hit the publish button, and it'll show up in your portal. So it makes it really easy to have your portals follow your CRM design, and you get a lot more agility out of your Dynamics CRM implementation when you do that. But basically, you are in full control of everything that's on every page. So you manage your content. A lot of our websites will have standard content, knowledge base articles. We've got instructions on web pages and applications. We've got supplementary content, like, say, your terms and conditions and stuff like that. But basically, it's a full-blown website with Dynamics CRM embedded applications on top of that. But those applications don't look like they came from CRM, but they actually are stored in Dynamics CRM. Security is an important thing. Every time you stand up a portal, you need to deal with two areas of security right away, authentication and authorization. So authentication really is answering the question of who am I? And this is for the portal user. So the who am I is basically a contact record in CRM. So in CRM, we've got both accounts to represent companies and contacts to represent people. So we store all our data related to that portal user in the contact entity in CRM. From an authentication standpoint, you could have a username and password. We ship that out of the box. We don't recommend that as the best practice because then you're in the business of having to have a password management for your customers and password resets and all that kind of stuff. And it's actually a fairly sophisticated process you have to make sure that it can't be phished and other things like that and having social attacks on you to have people trying to hack into other people's account. So we don't really recommend that's the best practice. The best practice is to federate with something that you trust or your customers trust. So if you have a website and you're doing a B2C application, you're lighting up things like Twitter and Facebook and Google and Microsoft account and stuff like that allows you to let the users use the credentials that they already know and trust. And when they come to your website, they sign in with those credentials. You don't have to manage the password resets and all that kind of stuff. The authentication, though, so once you know who you are, as well as the federating with Azure AD, which we do out of the box, you can federate with ADFS, as well as many of the other federation providers, identity providers that support many of the standards that I mentioned earlier. So once you know who the person is, you have to answer the question in the portal as to what can that person do? That's the authorization check. So we do a couple of different things for authorization. We have standard role-based access control, or RBAC, and basically it's you have web roles and you're in the role or you're not, and if you're in the role, you can do something. That's a pretty common methodology we use, everything from Active Directory groups and Office 365 groups and roles and things like that. CRM has roles as well. But the portals has these web roles as well. Now, in addition to role-based access control, we also have declarative security rules or security permissions on the data. So quite often with the portal applications, you're going to be building an application that is contextually data. So you're able to open your cases or see the cases, read the cases from your account or your company, as long as you are administrator of in designated administrator for that company. So those types of rules can be configured with our access permissions here on the portal there. And it'll basically assert those security rules in the portal. So as you go to the portal, the contact can only see their cases or update their cases. And those types of rules will be enforced. Those rules are stored in CRM. But basically, you can think of it as role-based security in addition to the role-based security that we have as well. We have profile management, so as I mentioned earlier, you know, you have got a web profile, you want to make it self-service. You can see two screens here. One on the left here is the actual web view of the profile. On the right is what you would see in CRM. You'll notice actually it's the same fields, same layout. It's a different application container. The portal would actually be in the context of your site and your brand, but the one on the right is Dynamics CRM, and that's how it looks in Dynamics CRM today. But bottom line is it's using the same data and the same layouts. So if we went in CRM and added a new field on there and hit the publish button, it actually would show up on the portal as well. Now we do have the ability to have different portal forms. So you can actually have a backend form that you use in your office for your CRM, but a specific form for your web profile that you have in your portal. So you can pick and choose where those fields are in your portal as well as in your CRM. But the bottom line is that you really only need to change your business rules and business implementation in CRM only once, and the portal will follow too. So it really cuts down on the development effort and makes your portals and your CRM implementation very agile. Editable content. Basically, as you log into the website, if you're a site administrator, you see edit buttons as you're hovering, and those edit buttons allow you to edit those things right in line. So you're editing them in the context of your website, which really makes it easy for a non-technical user, a content publisher, to be able to go through the website and actually add new pages, edit content, and basically not having to engage with an IT or an HTML expert even, or a developer, to be able to make those changes. And they're made live on the website. So it allows you to really have you delegate the content ownership out to the people in your organization that actually would be authoring that content. So we have custom applications as well, and this is really the forte of the whole portal platform. We have the ability to present data. So in CRM, you're going to see a lot of grids, so rows and columns. It looks like a virtual spreadsheet. You can see the grid. You click on a row, and you can go into a form. That's really the motif that you see when you're editing fields in CRM. But on the portal, maybe you want to say, like on the left-hand side, you know, show a list of products, but actually do it in a visual way with icons and make it look like a product catalog. Well, you can certainly do that. In CRM, you're going to see some filter options, much like you would see in Excel, where you can say filter columns and all that kind of stuff. But on the portal, we decided that, you know, from a customer or consumer-ready interface, we'll use, like, say, different filters on the left-hand side to make them really visual and easy for them to select. So basically, you're pre-selecting the filters for the customer, and it makes them easy to navigate to those the data sets that you're looking at. You can see in the middle one here, we have map view interface as well. So you can take this data in CRM, if it has geo addresses and information on top of that, you can then map that information onto a map overlay. So it doesn't have to be a grid view or a custom template view. And on the far right would be our out of the box, here's what it looks like as a list. But again, you've got actions on every row, and every row is another record in data in CRM. You can click on that and either have a pop-up view or go to a full detailed page for that. Now, some of the scenarios. So that's sort of the basics of what the portal does as a framework and the types of things that you can do once you get any portal. What are the portals that we ship, and what kind of scenarios are we trying to implement here? So we actually have five portals. I'm going to go from left to right. The reason why is we're actually building on top of them. So everything on the left is sort of the core of it, and then on the right is actually has everything, all the applications that are actually on the left pretty much as well. So we start off with a custom portal. So this custom portal is basically an empty portal. This is the bare minimum that we would have to stand up a portal. So it comes with a home page, comes with a login page, the authentication is already there. You've got the ability basically then to, you've got primary nav and your brand, and all of the portal functionality you see in the bottom half is just functionality that's there. Now once that's there, you can go and implement your own application there. So if you want to do a voter registration app, just go straight to it. You know, if you want to build, these custom portals are quite often actually meant now to be using from an employee's service standpoint. So we see a lot of HR web type of applications being built, a lot of request management and internal applications being built with the, you know, starting with the custom portal and going sort of going out from there, or starting with the employee portal, which includes help desk, which is typically also another very highly valuable feature. The custom portal is basically an empty portal that you can add your own applications to. We'll go up one level. So now we have two portals that are actually the similar portal or pretty much the same functionality, just one is depending upon who the audience is. So we have the customer portal that's meant for external audiences, and we have the employee portal, which is meant for the internal employee audience. The real difference is when you have the employee portal there, we're actually automatically allowing you to sign into Azure AD. So all of your online user credentials that you've already set up with Office 365 and Dynamics CRM, well, the portal can handle those as well. So it makes it easy for you to provision an application like an internal help desk and to be able to have all your employees log in without having to set up yet another set of credentials for your employees. But it's basically for an employee audience. Now, if you pick the employee portal, then in CRM's world, from the licensing standpoint, you'd use the cheapest license, which would be the employee self-service or the ESS license. So it gives you a really affordable license price point to be able to extend CRM to those all your employees in that way, in a self-service manner. The customers are basically, you don't need licenses for external customers, so there's no licenses to, if you've got a user audience of 50,000 external customers, you don't have to pay anything for those external customers. Now, the applications that we put in the customer and employee portals are basically case management, knowledge management, so you know it's basically a help desk type of scenario. We added discussion forums as well to make sure we can actually collaborate and dialogue between the customers as well. The community portal is the next portal up. So the community portal has everything that the previous two portals had. So it has all of the knowledge management, case management, and discussion forums. But it really is meant to be community first. So it has a different focus. So it really is front and center about dialogue the discussion forums. So you're going to see the discussion forums in the community style being presented up front in the homepage more. And the applications are built a little bit more robust for that community engagement. And it also brings along blogs and ideas, and both of those blogs and ideas also have the ability to have high interactions and web engagements with your customers. Then we have the partner portal, and this one's a little different. It has pretty much all of the applications previously. We didn't turn on every single one, like we don't have ideas and blogs in the partner portal, but the partner portal adds the concept of your channel management. So you have the ability to take your some from the vendor through the partner down to the customer. So you can involve your partner channel in your transactions and in your interactions. So if you want to sell through a partner model, you can certainly do that with a partner portal. And that would have the partners be able to go there, either accept leads that are coming in or opportunities that have been delegated or designated to them. They can accept those. Or they can go and register their own opportunities, do deal registration, things like that as well. So you can actually have them reporting in on their customers and accounts that they're chasing, and then you as a vendor could support them a little better. But it basically is the ability to do the channel management. And the really interesting part about the partner portal, if you're looking at how to build your applications for your own custom things, is really look closely at the partner portal, because it's got a lot of security constraints, a lot of different scenarios that are in there. And it is built 100% with the point-and-click configuration of the web app module that we have here. So it's a really great way to sort of dissect and learn how to build an application, even if you're not going to be using the partner portal. And then all of the portals include all of those individual features on the bottom that's pervasive just through our framework there. So I'll give you a quick demo here. I'll flip over to a different machine. I think this is the one. So what do our portals look like? So this is the out-of-the-box community portal. I think we're running okay on time here. So basically, I'll just go through some of the basics of our portal. For those that you know portals, this is probably fairly easy for you. We do have some time later in the presentation here to deal with the roadmap, and we'll talk a little bit more about where we're going here. But I want to give everyone sort of an idea as to where we're sitting at today. This is the stuff that's in market today. So this is not the stuff that's coming out a little bit later. So all of our portals here, as I mentioned, responsive web design. So this is the full browser view. If you want to take a look at what this would look like on a phone, you'll see that this is a touch-friendly screen. If I use my finger and not my mouse, you can see I can still use the menu system and navigate around the website. So this is very much a touch-friendly screen. The layout has changed completely in the layout there that would be more appropriate for the phone versus this. And you'll notice that we didn't have to go back and refresh the page. There's only one design. You don't have to worry about multiple designs for different devices. It's one design for all devices. Also noted in here is accessibility. We spent a lot of time both for the spring release, and we're spending more time again to upgrade our accessibility. But we really do want to make our portals accessible to all, so to people with various levels of sightedness and different disabilities as well. So you can use these with screen readers. You can use this with high contrast settings. You can use this with quite a number of things. So we've really have gone a long ways to ensuring that our portals are available to all customers of all capabilities. So the community portal here has got, as you can see, discussion forums, ideas, knowledge base, support, search, and stuff like that. Those are sort of some of the applications that we're embedding in. Let's sort of talk a little bit about the identity here. So we mentioned earlier, we've got a local identity, so I've got credentials here, and the customer with a password, and then over here, we've got the ability to have federated identity. Out of the box, we ship with Azure AD, and we do that because as you provision portals, you have, behind your Office 365 and Dynamics CRM Online subscription, you actually have an Azure AD tenant as well. And that is what you're federating with if you have federation down into your own organization, or if you have your own Microsoft.com account, that's what actually is doing the authentication. So we're actually integrating back into that. So as you have created Office 365 and CRM Online users, those actually will be usable by the portal. As you provision the portal, you actually are going to pick your first user to be your portal administrator. And the nice part about that is then you can log in here with a single sign-on. You shouldn't even be prompted again for your password, but if this is a new session, obviously you would be. And from there, you'd be logged in as a portal administrator, and away you go. We're going to log into here as an administrator. And I'll give you a little detail as to where we're going to go here. So as we go over to here, I'm going to go over to the CRM here. So for those that haven't seen CRM, this is what it looks like. Most of you probably have, but I think there's a few of them that indicated that weren't. You have this sitemap capability. So we've got sales, service, and marketing, which are some of the pillars of CRM. We've got a few different applications. We put our portals and communities in their own sitemap areas as well. But I'm going to go under sales, and once you're in sales, I went to take a look at contacts. So that's the table, if you want to think of it, or the entity in CRM's lingo, where we're storing this data here. So I'm going to go over to here and type in, let's say, customer. I should have logged in as a customer account earlier. So here's your portal customer. If you open this up here, actually, I should have done administrator because I logged in over there. Let's just do this one here. So we have a nice little handy search application here. And logging in here, so we're going to look in here as the administrator. We've got multiple forms in here, so this would be the full contact form, which CRM would typically see that represents that person. We have a custom form in here called Portal Contact, which gives us a few different things, including the web authentication area. So this is a local account for administrator, logons enabled. So basically, this is where you'd set your username and the logon enabled, whether or not it supports lockout, last time the lockout was there, how many failure accounts, all those kind of stuff. So there's a lot of security information in there. If there were additional identities like your Azure AD, or if you've got Google and Facebook and the user has hooked those up, you'll actually see those identities in there. You don't see the passwords, you basically see the identity tokens for that. And I could take a look also from here if I went to web roles. This is the role-based access control that I mentioned. this is associated web row view. Well, this is portal contact, not the admin. No, this one should actually be there. Interesting that it's not. But anyways, you can take a look at all of the various things about the contact record. We're going to go back to the administrator here and show you a special form. So this would be the profile web form. So if I go over to, I got the wrong password. That's why I said password logged out here. So let's go to customer here and sign in. Excuse me. And I should probably go back to the customer account, not the administrator. Portal customer. And we're going to flip over to your profile web form. You'll see you get first name, last name. It's the very same thing if we go over to the profile over here. So this is self-service profile. We're going to go there. We're going to see the first name and last name, email address, business phone, organization name, title, nickname, and all that kind of stuff in public profile. So basically, we are reading the CRM forms and presenting them on the portal, but within the context of your portal skin. So it's still the same thing, first name, last name, email, business phone, your profile, and stuff like that. So this is the profile form on the web page, and it's actually tied to the same form in Dynamics CRM. So as you go into CRM and you actually edit the form, actually, it's over in the other area here. So if you went and edit the form over here and changed the fields, added new fields, change the layout, you hit publish, it'll actually work not only in your CRM, but also over in your portal too. So if I log in, so now I've got here, this shows some of the important things. So probably one of the things would be a support scenario. So as you're logged in here, and I apologize for the speed here, we're dealing with some fun stuff right now, particularly with wireless and our portals here. So we've got the support here. So as you think of it as you're doing an external help desk application. You don't just want a whack load of cases. You want relevant cases. And you also want to be able to make your customers happy by giving them answers as fast as possible. So the way we do that is with case deflection. So case deflection has a couple of things. We actually are going to search in advance for what the customer wants to see if we can find information that's already in the portal that helps them to find their answer. Customers love that because they start with a problem and they can find an answer right away, and away they go and they're happy. They don't even open a case. The organizations love it because you don't have to open another case that you're managing. So I'll give you an example of how this is doing. So basically went to the case. I actually have logged in, so I have multiple cases that are already open. But if I went to, install, it's going to auto, as you're typing here, it's going to look through the system and find, oh, you know what? We've got installation instructions from knowledge base articles. It allows you to immediately click on that. So without even opening a case, I can go and take a look at the installation instructions. Say, well, that's good, that's not. I can add some comments on there, because I have comments turned on in this. This is some of our engagement applications that are there. You can see if there's any other related article, how many people viewed it, all those kind of things. And all the fields that are on this page are all in your control as a portal owner to be able to configure which fields you want to present to your customer. And we have a rating system in here as well, so you can actually rate those articles to collect feedback on those articles so you know where to focus your efforts. In both either search engine optimization, some of the content, and things like that. So if this solved my problem as a customer, I would just walk on, I'd be happy, that would be a great experience. But if that didn't solve my problem, I could just, open a case. And opening a case would be as simple as entering a case. You've got a case field, your title, your customer, your contact is automatically pre-filled. Things like your case type. And all these fields here are all configurable by you. So you can go and take and configure your CRM to be able to meet your customer needs. Quite often what we'll see is in a very sophisticated company, we'll actually not just have a simple form like this, but actually go down a different web form process, which has multiple stages where maybe you pick your product up front, and then depending upon the product that you picked, you actually ask more deeper questions in your product. And the concept on that is basically collect as much information as you can from the customer up front so you can provide the answer in the shortest period of time, A, for the customer, but also in the least amount of effort for you as well. So that sort of helps. So those are the types of applications we have. We've got discussion forums, ideas, ideation is built in. And all these applications you can pick and choose and put them into your portals or not. So let's go on back to Dilip to your presentation now.
Alrighty. So, So, we all saw the demo. Now, one of the most important thing, because a lot of you are IT admins of your company. So one of the most important questions which comes in your mind, is it gonna work for my company though? Like, we have tons of customers, like thousands and thousands of customers hitting this portal every day. Is it gonna scale? Is it gonna work? Is it gonna always be up and running? Because if Microsoft doesn't upgrade, will it go down? Like those kind of things. So that's where we want to talk about how we deploy it, how we power this whole technology, how we are making sure it is always up and running. And just to mention, like, while Shan was doing demo, we actually are doing an upgrade today. Like, this is one of our monthly upgrades, and we're going to talk about it. And it is happening just right now while he's doing a demo, and the portal doesn't go down. So that's, like, one of the things we try to ensure that it is enabled in the product. So it is always up and running. It's a public website. It cannot go down. So just to start about what powers it. So it's all the power of Azure platform. So by the power vested in us by Azure platform, we present to you portals. So these are the kind of pillars we talk about whenever we talk about any SaaS service. These are the kind of pillars we talk about. Like, one of the most important one is availability. Like, we have to ensure it is always up and running. It cannot go down because it is for your external customers. If someone is not able to come to your portal, search for an article, or do a deal, like register a lead, those kind of things happens, it's a problem. And we try our best so that it never happens whenever we are running a service. So 99.9% guaranteed SLA is something we commit. It's a financially backed SLA. So this is the same which CRM commits as well. So anytime if your portal is down more than, like, we are not able to meet this SLA, you're going to get your money back. And it's in your contract as well, so it's not. We are actually going to give you money back. Shan is going to give $25 back, and I'm going to give $25 back from the 50 we get. Right. And the next thing is performance and scalability. So we make sure that whenever you are running a portal in our platform, it is always performant. It is able to scale to all the load burst you have. Like, for example, if you're an e-commerce company, right? The more we go into holiday season, it's going to get a peak. And we have things in place where website will scale automatically. You won't have to do anything with that. And that's all powered by Azure. Because if you see the keynote, if we can, like, translate entire Wikipedia in 0.1 second, we can run a website. That should be fine. Now, disaster recovery. Now, obviously, things can happen. Like, whole data center can go down sometimes. So we make sure that your portal is still up and running. We use technique, and we're going to talk about that, where it is always hosted in two data centers, always there's a primary and secondary. So whenever, if a whole data center goes down, your customers will automatically be redirected to secondary without you or them knowing about it. Data protection. Now, that's the most important thing. Like, you, first of all, like, as an organization, you have a commitment to your customers that your data, that their data will not be breached. And we have a commitment to you that your data will not be breached. So we make sure we follow all the compliance standard. We follow all the European data standards as well. So your data resides in that geographical boundary. We do not take it out. It will always remain there. Wherever we are integrating with an external system, you will always be notified what data will go into that system. And there will always be an opt-in and opt-out behavior. So we ensure that in our service, whenever we are storing your data in any way, it is secured, it's not transmitted out, and it is always, like, you can always maintain it. Availability. So this is, like, the most important thing. We are available worldwide. So we ship in 8 geographies, total 16 data centers. And if you are from Australia, your portal will be hosted inside Australia, obviously accessible from all over the world. If you are in India, your portal will be hosted inside India. So wherever Microsoft is expanding its data centers, and you have seen, like, 34 regions what we support today with Azure, same way we will be expanding as well. So we'll always ensure that whatever regions Microsoft has a data center in, your portal is hosted in that closest data center. Now, next thing is security. Now, this is most important, and this is something we actually take pride in. Like, in Microsoft, any application we have to build, there are 2 pillars. One is accessibility, which Shan talked about. We have to do it. Like, there's no way out of it. Security is something which is also embedded into every single product we do. So we make sure that If we are using TLS, for example, we are using TLS 1.2 and so that it is always secure. If we find any vulnerabilities, we fix them as fast as possible. Because we use Azure as a platform, it also gives us capabilities around DDoS attacks. So if someone is trying to hit your portal site, which eventually is hitting your CRM as well, we actually have rules in place so that it will not allow a DDoS to happen. Once we'll move forward in the service, like once we'll talk about roadmaps and all, we will also provide you in future controls on doing your own DDoS rules, where you can configure that, oh, only these IP addresses can access, or this is the range which can access, or if this a single IP is hitting like 100 times in 5 minutes, block 101st call. So those kind of rules we will provide you. Now let's talk about, I talked about global presence. So if you'll see, these are the data centers we actually host in throughout the world. We have data centers in North America, which we host in US and Canada. We have it in South America, we have in Europe, we have in India, we have in Australia, we have in Asia Pacific, which is basically Singapore and Hong Kong, and we have it in Japan as well. So these are the local data centers where you'll be hosted. Now, how do you determine your data center? It is totally based on which CRM organization you are connecting your portal against. Whenever, if your CRM is in Japan, when you'll provision your portal, it will automatically be provisioned in Japan. And it will be closest to your CRM so that there's no latency involved. Probably sitting in a rack just below the CRM rack in data center. Now, apart from hosting it, languages are also important. So just to see how many languages do we support today? So we support 38, that's including English. Like this is a huge list, so I'll just tell you which ones we don't. So we don't support Arabic and Hebrew today, and we don't support East Asian languages. East Asian is something which is coming as part of one of our future releases in CY 2016. Now, that's the most specific I can be about the dates. those are the seven languages we don't support today, which CRM does, and those will be coming shortly as well. Now, like I talked about high availability, I talked about disaster recovery, I talked about scale. How do we do it? So this is the kind of architecture we have, and I just wanted to share it with you as well. Basically, what we are doing at the backend, like you see a URL, we use Azure Web Apps, which is basically our primary technology. Now, if you're using Azure Web Apps, have even read about them, you know that they come with scalability, they come with all the DDoS thing I talked about, they come with like a lot of features. Like that's how I can probably put it. Now, the way we do it is whenever you provision a portal, whenever you have a portal up and running with us, it's gonna be using two web apps at the backend. One will be in the data center closest to your CRM. So if CRM is in West, US, it's your web app is gonna be in West US. One we'll keep out in a secondary data center. That will be a secondary node. That's for disaster recovery and high availability in case first goes down. Now we have a traffic manager on the top, and the URL which you see is actually pointing to traffic manager. And then we run it in primary and secondary mode. So all your traffic actually goes to a primary, and primary will auto scale. And if your primary is down, the traffic will start going to secondary. So if, let's say our data center, whole data center goes down, your portal will not experience a like timeout. It will probably be like 30 seconds and the secondary node will kick in. So your customers will not see that, oh yeah, the portal is not working. That is foremost important for us. Now we also talk to CRM online, so each of the web apps talk to CRM online through SDK, all that communication happens. Whenever, like what Shan was talking about, whenever you publish a field, we automatically take that data from CRM and make sure your web apps knows, like your portal code knows that it is running. Now also this architecture gives us one more flexibility. Upgrade, which I talked about, which we just did while he was actually running, and that's why probably it was a bit slow. but whenever any upgrade happens, because we use web apps, those are seamless. We use something called upgrade slots in web apps, so we will always put the code into the upgrade slot and then swap it, and those are all warm swaps. So your customer will not experience a downtime whenever even a live upgrade is happening. Now that's true for production portals. If you're running trial, you're gonna see a restart. Yeah, so just to be clear about that. Awesome. And Okay. Now we talked about service architecture. We gave you a demo. We told you what scenarios you can use in. Now the next big question comes, okay, I want to buy this today. How do I do that? What type of offerings we have? How do we sell it? How do I try it? Because obviously without trying, there's no buying. So this is how we actually sell it in market today. We have two add-ons, and these are add-ons to Dynamics CRM. So if you are Office 365 customer, sorry, if you are a Dynamics CRM Online customer, because that term somehow confuses people. If you are using CRM Online today, you can go to your Office 365 purchase services, and you'll see these two add-ons listed. One is called Portal Add-on, which is the primary one we want to buy. This add-on will give you a portal subscription, one portal. You can have any number of customers there, it doesn't matter. It will give you 1 million page views per month. If you think you have more than 1 million page views, so one of the most important things is we are not gonna stop your portal if you hit 1 million page views. It's still gonna keep up and running. It's just because it's a public site and we understand like it's very hard to predict how many page views are gonna happen, but we will provide you data on how many are happening so that you can plan better late next time. So with each portal add-on, you're gonna get 1 million page view. You can buy it today. We also do additional add-on if you are seeing that, oh, your data, like your portal usage is way higher than 1 million. Then you can buy page views, which are increments of 500,000 per month as well. And these can be added to your portal. And you can buy as many number of page views as well. And as many number of portals as well. Buy more, like we probably will give a discount if you'll buy two someday. Now, another offering which is important, and we briefly touched about it when Shan was presenting like all the scenarios which we support today, that's called Employee Portal. So now that's for websites like whatever you host for your internal employees. Like the most important one I use inside Microsoft is facility management, because I'm from India, I'm in East Coast, I always have to call them up every evening and ask them, oh, please turn off the AC, I'm like feeling really cold right now. So they actually have a nice website where I can go and register my case and they automatically do it. So those are the kind of like scenarios you can think about your internal customer. You can have payroll sites. Anyone has queries about payroll, they can come to the site. Most of the things which I've seen people doing is they serve self-serve content, like knowledge-based content over there. So people can solve their problems themselves and don't have to call or register a case or do anything. So those employee sites are something which are part of every organization, which helps you in solving your employees' grievances. And a happy employee is a happy customer, that's what I'll say. So those are the scenarios, like we have this offering specially tailored for that. So this offering actually includes two parts. One is you have to buy a portal add-on, which will actually host your portal. When you'll go to provision a portal, it will actually ask you, do you want an employee site or do you want like a normal customer or partner site? So you can choose employee there. That can be changed later as well, so you don't really have to marry into whatever you choose in the beginning. Once you have choose employee there, it will set up your website. It will set up in the mode. It will have a customer's template applied to it, customer self-service template, and it will run in the employee mode. That's what I call it. Second thing you have to do is anyone who logs, that site is totally authenticated. Except for the homepage, everything else is authenticated. So anyone who logs in has to have a license. That license can be like, all your CRM guys can log into that. You don't have to buy any licenses for them. But if you're buying it for your customers, we offer a license which is like the cheapest one. It's called Employee Self-Service. You can buy that for all your employees and you can attach them to their Office 365 profile and they'll all get an access to it. The login methodology, like why we actually ship a template for this thing is because we actually do all the connections automatically for you. We'll integrate it automatically with your Azure AD. We'll do the license check. So any customer who is coming to your portal, like you don't have to do anything so that they can use the same username password which they use inside their company. So whatever is their Windows authentication, you can actually, if you're using IE and Edge, you can actually just plop it in. And if they are logged into their Windows machine, and they can directly go to the site without having to be logged in again. So those kind of things you can all do, and that template automatically serves that purpose. But yeah, licenses are important, and you have to buy a portal add-on. Alrighty. Now, how to try and buy a portal? So We talked about buying, so you can actually go to Office 365 directly from the UI. You can buy a portal add-on. You can go through volume licensing. You can go through CSPs, and there are tons of other methods Office 365 allow you to buy. If you're a partner, you have something else. So all of those experiences are supported. You can go and buy an add-on. It's a standard add-on. There's nothing special about it. Important thing is portal trials. We do offer a trial. It's a managed trial, so you won't see it in Office 365 console that there's a public trial option there. But this is a site, and this deck will be uploaded, so you guys can get the site link from there as well. So you can actually just mail us, like go to the site and register your request, and we are gonna give you like a trial code, which you can consume against your Office 365, and you will have a portal there. These are not publicly available, so you can actually post it, blog it, it doesn't matter. As many people know about it, that will be, like we'll be happy about it. So that's the way you will get a trial. Now, important thing is, make sure you have a dynamic CRM online, either a trial or a paid one, doesn't matter. But you need to have a dynamic CRM online in order to get these things, both trial as well as actual add-on, because CRM is our database. Now, let's talk about, like a lot of talk about what we do today. How do you do it? How do you buy it? How do you try it? Now, let's talk a bit about what's our roadmap? How fast we release? Like, we talk about releasing monthly. Like I said a statement, this was a monthly release. Do we do that actually? So let's understand like what type of releases do we have? So we do three things. We have monthly updates, which are any customer, like whenever you find a bug in portal, you call support, they log a bug for you. Those are the releases where we fix those bugs. We take, like all these monthly releases happen almost like every last week of a month, and it will come up with customer bugs, it will come up with performance and security enhancements, and we actually, we have a whole like service part of this portal, and we ship features for that service as well. So recently we shipped a way where you can change your portal to a different CRM instance. We provide you options like restart a portal, get the logs of your portal, those kind of things we started adding there. And that those features we ship every month. Now, second is out of band releases or hot fixes. So if we find a critical issue, if we find a security issue, a performance issue, or a critical like customer issue, which most of the customers are facing, we will do these out of band updates as well. Everyone gets notification, those kind of things happen. These are reserved for if the service is like, this will take down the service if we don't fix it, those kind of issues. Now third is major releases. That's where we give you all the goodies. That's where we come up with new features. We come up with new options in your portal. We come up with new portal types. We come up with framework enhancements. We fix bugs as well, so whatever bugs we didn't fix in a monthly, we'll go to these major releases as well. And then we do enhancement in our service offering as well. So we'll add you features to do more with your like service as a whole. Now, how did we do on schedule? Now, this is like most important, which I think, because we can talk about monthly and out of bands and stuff, but like one of the most important thing to measure our performance is what we have done till now, because we launched in May, and this is the kind of releases we have done till now. We launched in May 2016, which was our GA. Then we did our first update in June 2016. We fixed around 240 bugs in it. So as old-time Microsoft customers, you will know, use it after SP1. So that's what we did. We fixed a lot of bugs in it. We found a lot of issues. We got a lot of customer feedback. That's what we have added in these monthly releases. Second one we did in July, that was our update 2. We skipped August because August is when we did a lot of out of bands to fix some performance issues and some customer issues as well. And then September is the latest one, which is going out as we speak. It got applied in Japan yesterday. It's going out in rest of the regions today. And then a major release is coming up this year as well. So we're going to talk about what is coming in that release. That's the most important thing. Now, in the bottom, you'll see a link. That's like one of the article which will talk about what each of these releases contains, what kind of features we shared, what bugs we fixed. All of that is posted in this KB article. Now with that, I'll give it back to Shan, because we're going to talk about what's next. And let's see like what's in the store for us.
Thank you, Dilip.
So we have a number of different key investment areas here. I'll just sort of bring them all up on the screen here and go through in individual ones here. But we're going to be investing in both the portal framework itself, so some small improvements to that. We've also invested a lot into knowledge management to make sure that we take a lot of the best practices from Paracher and implement them into our portals. And also, some of these things are also been frequently requested features from our customers. Partner relationship management actually is probably one of the largest areas of investment for this next release here as well, and I'll go through the details of some of that as well. We have a couple of new portals here. Additional language support, as Dilip mentioned earlier, we have some of the East Asian or multi-byte character set support, so the Japanese, Chinese, three types of Chinese, as well as the Korean languages will be supported. And then we also have a special private cloud, not private cloud, but basically it's a government cloud deployment here coming up here as well. So if you are a public sector customer or a partner that's working with the Microsoft GCC environment, our portals will be deployed to that later this fall as well. So on the framework enhancements, we spent a lot of time on accessibility improvements. I think we've closed over 300 bugs. We thought we did really good in the NAOS, but as Microsoft continues to evolve their own accessibility standards and increasing, as well as, for instance, here, we're now actually supporting Section 508 formally as well. So there's a lot of improvements we made into here to make sure that our portals are very accessible, and we're going to continue to make those things because you are never done when it comes to accessibility. You are always can always make it better, and we're going to continue to lead in that world and make sure that our portals are always accessible to everybody. We've improved the search engine a bit. Particularly, we've allowed for faceted search, so you can now you can see in the picture here. You can now bring in different facets of the search, whether it's the type of the document, when it was published, and things like that. Whether it's a KB article or a forum or a blog post and stuff like that. So it just allows you to find and more easily get down to what you're actually looking for. We're also added dashboards and chart support. So now you can take CRM charts and actually embed them on your portal, which is really an interesting scenario that we're shipping with will be the partner portal. But in reality, it's a framework enhancement that you can now put on any of your portals. So if you want to surface your case closure rates or things like that, or any of the information that you have in CRM, you think that it's relevant out to the customer, you can actually surface those charts out to the customer as well. We've also made some small changes to the entity action filters. So in the partner portal, you would be able to, let's say, open a case or say open an opportunity or close an opportunity as one, but it's sort of dependent on what the state of that opportunity was. So we've actually extended our entity actions so that you can actually put filters on there so certain actions are available only when the record is in certain states or certain filters as well. So those things are available across all the portals, but of course we're leveraging those for the partner portal. Knowledge management enhancements include product filtering. So we've got a lot of KB articles now in CRM. You can now relate them to products, and there's a couple of different ways you can relate it to the customer. So from the you can do a straight relationship. If you have a project or field service on there, there's an asset in it, you can configure how a customer owns a product in a number of different ways. But now the portal will actually now filter out the KB articles based on your ownership of that product or not, which has a couple of different things. So if you have the ownership based on only these customers should see this information because it's sensitive, well, you could do that from a security standpoint. But on the flip side, it also enables customers to find information more relevant because they're only going to be looking for the information that's relevant to the products that they're owning. So it allows you both to serve both of those audiences well. We also have content access level or content access permissions. So this is a declarative security model on top of KB that allow you to either, let's say, have premium content or partner-only content or any kind of an access level that you want to invent for your own organization that's appropriate, and then tag your knowledge base articles with those content access levels, and then the portal will appropriately apply the security for KB articles on those as well. So it allows you to have past in the past, like in our past, what we've done is just internal versus external, but now you can actually segregate your audience, external audience, and have different content for different audiences as well. PRM has been a very big investment. We're continuing to invest in this, and there's still a longer term roadmap for PRM investments as well. Some of the ones we've done in our next upcoming release here includes partner lifecycle management, so that allows you to go the whole the whole life cycle of a partner, from recruiting and onboarding to having them apply to renewals and all that kind of stuff. So basically allows you to have a more thorough partner management system within the portal. We also implemented the charts and dashboards relevant to the partner portal. I think it's more mainly on the partner when they log in, they can see the dashboards, their opportunities, how it's broken down, how long and how stale those opportunities are. Those types of things are now possible with just point and click and fig. And you can put your own charts in there as well, whatever's relevant for your portal as well. Deal registration is a new concept here. Deal registration could be used in many different ways. It could just be to make sure that the partner that first registered the deal is the one that's going to get the credit or the one that you are going to work with. It could be that deal registration can be used to, if you've got certain programs in place for sales incentives and stuff like that, they could register the deal for that incentive program and things like that. So there's a couple of different ways you can use this. And it allows you basically just to have a little more sophisticated partner ecosystem. Multi-partner collaboration is also important. Now, some people think multi-partner collaboration is two competitors collaborating, and that's not where we're targeting this. This is where, for instance, if you're in the Microsoft ecosystem, you may have a licensing and a system integrator as two different partners that are working collaboratively on the same deal. So those are the types of scenarios we're looking to enable. So we've got different partners of different types in the industry that are going to work together on that deal, so they can actually now collaborate together on that same opportunity, both see the status of it, both interact with it, and yet they're two separate companies and can work independently as well. And it's only on that opportunity that they're sharing that. And different LARs and different partners of different types could be paired up with different partners in different opportunities. So we support all those, and it basically just comes forward to the partner portal and see the opportunities that they're using. We have Microsoft also has two other first-party applications that they bought out. One is and as well as are implementing as well. So there's a new one called Project Service. You probably have seen that in the spring here and heard a lot about that, as well as Field Service. And both of those scenarios, we're lighting up those scenarios as they're relevant to the partner program. So for the partner portal from Project Service, it allows you to have, you know, it allows partners to view project information, including quotes, invoices, and bookable resources, so that they can actually have a partner channel with the bookable resources there. Field Service allows you to have a full 360-degree view of your work orders, agreements, assets, and invoices, and a few other things that are related to that as well. So just again, it's through the partner channel. In the longer-term roadmap, we're going to have more deeper point-specific portals for these as well, but we basically just lit these up within the concept of the partner portal for now. We have one new portal that's coming out after we exit our preview program, because it will be entering a preview program after we ship, and that's the event portal. And the event portal, you can think of it as a full-on conference portal, so it allows you to run events, whether it's with partners or not, but basically it's a full conference. So you got session speakers, sponsors, the whole nine yards, everything from your customers coming in and registering for the event. These events could be full-on conferences like, you know, Ignite here, or it could be something as simple as a webinar as well. So it sort of scales up and down your data model as to how you want to do it. But it's an independent portal, so you can have a full event portal and enable that for your audience as well. Language support. We've done the East Asian languages, or the multi-byte character supports. Basically, it's the there's a few complexities to some of those languages, including different calendars with different day of the week starts and all that kind of stuff. So we've done all the heavy lifting to bring on these additional languages as well into our next release here. And now the only two left are the right to left languages, so that would be Arabic and Hebrew. So that's in our longer term roadmap, is to bring Arabic and Hebrew. At that point in time, portals will have all the language support that CRM has as well. So Dilip mentioned earlier, how to sign up for the trial. So for those of you that are familiar with this, you're probably already familiar or in the preview program, but for those who are not, Dynamics CRM has a special preview program that allows customers and partners to sign up and participate in the early release of the next version as well. And the preview program sign up is already open. So here's some links here. You can also get them from the deck when you download it as well, and just click on the links and go. That allows you to get into the preview program. Portals will be part of that preview program as well. We're going to be entering probably towards the end of October. And we'll be in there for a month, month and a bit before it launches later. So, but basically, sign up for the preview. You can see what's new, as well in CRM as well as in portals. And just from your standpoint here, when our portals goes to the vNext or the next major release, we're going to support the current version of CRM, which is 8.1, as well as the new version of CRM, which would be like I think it's 8.2. So we're going to support both versions of CRM. We don't have to upgrade your CRM to get the newer portals. You can use the newer portals with your existing CRM. And we're going to sort of continue to support that because we need to support what's in market as well as what's coming and what's new. Well, that's all we have. Looks like we've got 10 minutes left for the questions and answers. So this really is, I'm going to go back here to this other slide. Actually, so I'll go forward to, well, they got some resources here. I'll leave it on the resource slide, but.
So we'll just show you this, and we'll go back to the preview one. So if you want to load, note down any links, you can.
Yeah. OK, so please stand up to the mic so it's recorded and ask your questions.
Hi, so what about companies who own an ADX portal? So that transition plan, that upgrade path, what does that look like?
Okay, so what you're talking about is Microsoft is still selling the legacy ADX Studio Portal 7 in the market today, and we're still selling and supporting that. We actually are still shipping updates to it, too. There should be one released in the next week. So the path is that we are documenting today. I've just saw the draft of that documentation of upgrade instructions for customers to get to Portals 8. There are lots of caveats to it, like you have to be in CRM Online, you have to be working on out-of-the-box configuration, so you couldn't do custom development. But basically, we will have very shortly a full-on white paper that formally supports you in the upgrade scenario. So today, we're still supporting you using ADX Studio 7, but that document will get you to the point where you can move on to the Microsoft portals and then continue on Microsoft in the future.
So that's my concern. For us, we do have a considerable amount of customizations.
Yes.
Unfortunately, and so thinking about that upgrade path, moving off of ADX at some point, we know we're going to have to. So there is some concerns out there on that.
Yes, and I share those as well. It's the customization story is my highest important feature that I continue to advocate for. What I can tell you is it's not going to be in this next major release, but it is on the roadmap for as soon as possible. So I'm just looking at to trying to find out what exact time frame I'm going to land it. It's really important for any legacy customers to be able to move on to the newer portals is to get past that customization. How do you do what we call self-hosted deployment? So we are definitely tracking that as not being forgotten. You have a question?
So my question is around, I just saw the partner portal information right here on one of the portals that are supported. So in case we want to kind of extend the portals, right?
Yep.
Like every portal comes with its own set of things, like in case of partner portals, it's mostly about account management,
yep.
Opportunities management. If we want to add new features or we want to restrict, because partners come with their own associated information, like if you want to manage it for case management.
Yeah.
How do we really do that?
Well, there's a couple of ways. So all of these portals are all configuration based. So even what we ship out of the box is using the same configuration that you're going to use. So for instance, if you want to have the partner, we'll pick a simple scenario. You don't want case management on your partner portal. Or say you don't want discussion forums on your partner portal, mm-hmm. but you want case management and everything else we ship. So what you would do is we shipped with the forums on there. So what you do is you just basically delete that from the site navigation. So you log in, you hit the edit button, and you remove and hit save, and you're done. So that's the easy way to turn something off. Lighting up another functionality, so another scenario would be, let's say, you wanted to have blogs on your partner portal or ideas on your partner portal. We didn't ship with ideas on our partner portal, but we did ship with it on the community portal. So the easiest thing to do is go get another trial or deploy the community portal, community portal from the CRM admin interface into your CRM, which will bring in the idea solution and some of the data for that. And then what you do is you go back into CRM and you basically reparent the ideas page, and there's probably five or six different pages you would reparent from the community portal to your partner portal. Then you log into your partner portal and add ideas to your primary nav, and you're done.
But But in that case, that would come with an additional cost.
No.
No.
So portals are just one per euro.
Just from two different kind of portals.
The only cost for you from a portal is how many portals we're hosting. So if we have 1 euro, you have one portal cost. We do not charge per feature in our portal. So you can take all of our features and put it into one Uber portal if you'd like as well. And you're quite welcome as well to build your own scenarios as well on top of this. And there's no additional charge for that.
Just to clarify, how you get partner or community or anything, right? It's a package in CRM terminology. So you can install all the packages in one CRM org, and then can take your portal and say, oh, this is community, now change it to partner, now change it to customer, now change it to ESS. So you can test everything.
Okay.
And you can try out everything. And then what Shan said, take partner, take some of the community stuff, and like reparent it to partner. So you have community stuff coming in partner, and you are only charged for one portal.
Okay, so it's like we can mix and merge.
Yes.
Yep.
The needs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No cost.
That's amazing. Another question I had was around because this is an online portal. You know what happens is generally not only the customers, but sometimes the partners, like the CRM Microsoft partners, are also a little skeptical in terms of how much flexibility does it provide in terms of, you know, customization. Because if it's a .NET application, right? Like if I develop my own .NET application, I can always build in whatever features I want. So how much control is it really, you know, how much flexibility does it have in terms of doing whatever you want to do with the portal that is available? So how do we convince the customers that it's really flexible to go with the portal and we'll still be able to do whatever we want to do?
So you really, I think what you're asking is how much customization can you do? And we do have a lot of configuration capabilities. So you can build your applications, you can declare your security models, you can complete control over every pixel that's coming out of the portal as far as your templates and CSS and all that kind of stuff. You can build your own applications in it too. We also have a programming language that's based on our configuration. And on the front side, it's called Liquid. It's the templating language we've followed here to do that parsing in there. But within that Liquid, if you look at the documentation we have, you'll see that it's actually a rich CRM application design as well. So you can actually go and do your own queries and different things and reach back into CRM for that. So that Liquid templating is actually very powerful. It has branching logic and templating and includes and a whole pile of things that you'd expect in a fairly rich templated language. So those are the two areas I'd point to show your customers where it's going to go. Now, where the limits are is you can't touch the ASP.NET code, because we have the code that it's in our source control and we're deploying it to the portals. So today, if you're in a Microsoft SaaS offering for our portals, you can't touch your own ASP.NET code. That would be what legacy ADX Studio 7 does, and that would we call in the future sort of your self-hosting, your customization. So you could take the full ASP.NET page and do whatever you want with it, maybe integrate it with some other backend databases and systems with that. But you're not limited just to ASP.NET development. You do have the capability of composite applications. You've got full REST capabilities. There's a few other things in there, but there are some limitations that we recognize, and that's why I do want to, you know, work on reducing the things that you would need to require configure or customization and make them customizable, but also in the end for those enterprise customers be able to open up the development story and customization. I think we have about 3 or 4 minutes left.
I'll be brief, and this may have been sort of answered, but dovetailing on that question, what about a third-party app type of integration, specifically like a CPQ that we wanted to tie into a customer portal?
So the easiest thing to do for most third-party apps, and maybe I'll use an example of CPQ or even ERP integration, is that think of it as the portal likes to read everything from CRM. So most of the best enterprise pattern you can follow is integrate your backend system with the CRM. If you integrate with CRM, you get the inside view consistent with your outside view or the portal view. So in the case of an ERP, let's say you'll have an order request or a quote, or sorry, an order request coming out of the from the portal into CRM, that goes into the ERP and comes back with a full quote. So the actual quote may be generated by your ERP with your backend logic and ERP, but it gets put into CRM as a quote with the right line items. And then the portal then just basically surfaces that quote from CRM. So you can build these composite systems by integrating your backend systems in CRM. keeping in mind that the portal can run synchronously with CRM, as well as you can do back-end sync operations to other external parties with plugins and other operations too in CRM. So that's the pattern that I typically recommend. I typically do not recommend having the portal having two dependencies on two systems. When you start to get two or three or four systems, and you start to get these matrices of these interdependencies, it becomes a very difficult time to have that operational uptime and stuff like that. And then you have to also then worry about what's the portal view versus what do I see in the inside view and things like that. So our best practice always is make CRM integrated. You'll see it in CRM, and your portal will obey that as well. And then use sort of a request pattern. So it comes in from the portal as a request, some operation happens, you go to back-end integration, maybe your CPQ system or ERP, it doesn't matter. It comes back into an entity in CRM. It could be custom entity or it could be an out-of-the-box entity like Quote, and then you surface that back to the customer. And that can be a full synchronous operation if you chose to have that kind of an user interface.
So specifically, if we wanted to leverage a third-party CPQ solution with that portal,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
But expose the CPQ functionality, the custom CPQ functionality, to the customer.
Yeah.
Would that be possible today?
Well, you would, but you would expose the functionality by being them having the appropriate quote with the right options and details and line items on that quote, correct? Mm-hmm. So they would have some form of a user experience to actually select what they want. Mm-hmm. And then in the back end, it would go to your CPQ system, mm-hmm. and based on all your pricing models and everything else and validating all the features and picking other things they would need to configure to get back to the appropriate quote, it would then insert that quote record in CRM as a possibility as a quote record. Most CPQ would go to a quote.
Right. Uh-huh.
And then that quote would then be surfaced on the portal, and the portal would basically just see what is that quote output or the output of the CPQ. They don't actually interact with a CPQ. Now, if you want them to interact with the CPQ, like say you've got a CPQ that actually has a really, let's say it's a car configurator, right. It's very highly visual and stuff like that, yeah. Then you'd probably iframe it and bring it in that way to just sort of do that. So you'd be able to, you know, make it look like it's in your website, but it really is an iframe or a div or whatever it is. If the CPQ system has got an AJAX API, that's trivial. But if they can't, you could iframe that in and just configure them to be Chromeless or, you know, stuff like that and do that. But those are the types of patterns. In the long term, with full-on configuration, if you had full access to the ASP.NET, you can do whatever you want. But those are the types of approaches that I would take today.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi. I'm wondering about the other portals that ADX Studio have, in particular the retail as well as the government 311 solutions. Will those be moving forward in the new CRM portals?
Eventually. So I think that the retailer, the commerce side, will likely be done with a third-party partner in the future or opportunities for third parties. We're not really Dynamics isn't really the, especially on the CRM side, doesn't want to really be necessarily in the business of being a payment provider and stuff like that. But as far as the public sector, that's still one of the key areas that we're looking forward to bringing in the roadmap very shortly. The most important thing for us was to at least do deployment into the government cloud, and we got that in this next version here. It should be done in October or something, I think it's scheduled-ish.
Yeah, something
for this year. And then following that will be some of our other government solutions as well. So it's definitely on our roadmap. We haven't abandoned it. For customers that are in public sector, we still sell legacy ADX7 right now.
And will there be an upgrade path for the current service model structure?
The upgrade path for that model will happen once we ship those equivalent features. So until we ship the equivalent features, we can't have an upgrade path. We will, though, support the non-311. So if you just did a community site for public sector today, you could move that over to our government GCC offering for that. And using the upgrade white paper that I talked about earlier, you could upgrade from your old legacy ADX to the new one and do that as well.
Thank you.
But thank you for asking. It was useful for me to get evidence of people are asking for public sector. Send me an email.
So just to clarify, is this going to be the portal solution for Dynamics 365 over all up, or is this just CRM?
It's going to be for all up eventually. When Dynamics 365 will launch, and you'll see a lot more details coming in next few weeks, once we go to CRM UG conference and AX UG conference. yes, eventually this will be the portal solution for all.
Okay. And then will it support the common data model?
That is something we are still discussing. So more details will come about that in future. Yep. All right, that's pretty much it.
Well, I appreciate your time today. Are there any feedback slides here?
Yeah, the last one.
Okay, so there you go. So appreciate your feedback. Thank you for coming. If you have any other questions, we'll be in the
Expo Hall. Like, there's a dynamic CRM booth there. We'll be there whole week. You have any questions? You want to see like a close-up demo? We can. We are all doing that there. So see you there.
Thank you very much.
Right.